Good morning, and thank you for entering into worship. It does my heart good to sing and to hear you singing, and I look forward to when we will sing unencumbered. In my pastor weekly email, I asked a couple of questions. First of all, what is your spiritual gift? What is your spiritual gift? If you are a Christian, according to the Word of God, hang on a second, something's up here with my ears and glasses and masks and microphones. It's a wonder I can walk in a straight line on a Sunday morning. Okay, where was I? What are your spiritual gifts? If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that God has given you a spiritual gift. Do you know what your spiritual gift is? Secondly, why has God given you that spiritual gift? Why has God given you that spiritual gift? This morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to take 2 weeks on this chapter. This morning we're not going to read or deal with all of it. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God speaks to his church in Corinth and to us about spiritual gifts. What they are and especially why he has given them to us. So if you would turn with me to God's Word, we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, and then 26 through 31. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to meet idols, whoever you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all to everyone and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. If one member suffers, and we're jumping down to verse 26 at this point, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administration, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I will show you a still more excellent way. Let's pray. God and Heavenly Father, would you meet us in your word and would you give us your very self? Lord, what we need this morning is more than an accurate understanding of what 1 Corinthians 12 is saying. What we need this morning is more than a pleasant or inspiring worship service. Lord, what we need this morning is you and your very self. So forgive us when we expect less. Forgive us for when we want less. And would you give us your very self that as we worship you this morning, as we receive the Lord's Supper, as we receive the benediction, and as we leave this place, that we would do it as those who know that they have met with the true and the living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians is a bit of a painful book, and we've seen that. We also see that God's Word is painful. First Corinthians, like God's Word, is pretty relentless in addressing our sin and our brokenness. God's Word is a lot more like that than we would prefer. God's Word is a lot more direct and challenging and exposing than a lot of people let on or act or pretend. One of the reasons 1 Corinthians 15 has been kind of more painful for me is when we began this season back in March of this year, my kind of thinking was, well, we'll get kind of halfway through the book, and then surely we'll be on the other side of the pandemic for the second half. You know, well, 1 Corinthians is a book about community, and community, the community of the church. And so we'll spend a portion of this, you know, while we're in isolation and while we're not able to gather as a church family, while we're disconnected, but it'll help prepare us for the second half of the book, because surely by that time, everything will be back to normal. And so going through 1 Corinthians with its emphasis on the importance of the body and community and life together has been additionally painful with the pain of isolation. With our church having to kind of just kind of tread water with regard to our gatherings and our togetherness and our serving and our being with one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is painful in that regard because it's all about the body of Christ again. And we've seen that for the past several chapters in a row. But here again, we're talking about the body of the Christ together as the family of God. As we emerge from COVID-19, and I pray that we are emerging. If we're not emerging at some point, we're just going to have to say, darn it, we're just going to have to live with this. But as we look to what it means to live, not hide, what it means to live in this world, this dangerous and broken world, and follow God, God points us to the body. This morning, as we look at our gifts and why we have them, three main points, if you like to know what the outline is. First of all, godly pride. Godly pride. Secondly, body consciousness. Body consciousness. And third, communal awe. Communal awe. A-W-E. Communal awe. Godly pride, body consciousness, and communal awe. Look with me at verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, as we go through this passage this morning, we're going to come back to particular verses and sections multiple times and look at one part of them, and then come back and look at another part of them. Here in verse 7, we kind of have the main point of this passage. Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church where things have gotten out of whack. Where there has been pride with regard to spiritual gifts, specifically with the obsession or the pride of speaking in tongues, which we're going to come back to in a second. And what God is addressing here is their ungodly pride in their gifts. How they had been looking at their spiritual gifts and being puffed up. How they had elevated some gifts above all others. But here in this passage, we are called to have a godly pride about our gifts. I mean, seriously, look at verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, God has put His Spirit in you and given you a spiritual gift that you might show, that you might manifest God's Spirit in this world and in this church. That should make all of us stand up a little bit taller. What are these spiritual gifts? Well, 1 Corinthians, I referenced some of them. We saw that. We'll begin with me in verse 8. For to one is given the Spirit, through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom. Not just being wise for yourself, but speaking wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge. So a gift of wisdom, a gift of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So here we have a list of some of the spiritual gifts that God gives to the church. I'll jump down to verse 27 and we get into some of the roles where some of these gifts are used. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed the church and the church first apostles. And there's an order here. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administration, and the various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? The answers here are no. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. Here we have a list of some of the spiritual gifts. It's not a comprehensive list. In fact, Scripture doesn't offer a comprehensive, settled list of spiritual gifts. If you want to look at more of the gift lists, look at Romans chapter 12, 1 Peter 4, and Ephesians 4. And what you'll see is when you look at these different lists, is none of them are the same. Some of them have repetition, and some of them include gifts that others don't mention. The Bible doesn't give us an exhaustive, settled list of spiritual gifts, but it gives us quite a list to start with. Referenced in here is the gift of tongues. We see that in verse 10, and we also see that in verse 30. Here I get a little bit frustrated because I think the translators of scriptures have shown a lack of courage and an avoidance of conflict and a desire to not impact broad denominational sales of their translations. There really is no good reason to translate the word that we see here in verse 10, at the end of verse 10, to translate that as various kinds of tongues in our modern world. The word there is languages. And that's what we would expect it to mean kind of in its context. That's how that word is translated in other places. And so what's being talked about here, I firmly believe, is the gift that was given in the early church in the apostolic age, where God, for the spread of missions, gave people, without having to go to school or do Rosetta Stone, gave them the gift of the ability to speak in a foreign language for the spread of the gospel. And he gave other people the gift of being able to translate foreign languages. And as we look at Scripture and we see how the gift of tongues operated, that makes sense. In Acts chapter 2, people were given the gift of languages, the gift of tongues, and they proclaimed the gospel. And people understood them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, there's a phrase that caused people some problems, where Paul talks about, even if I speak in the tongues of angels. And here I have some openness. Primarily, I believe that Paul and God is being kind of sarcastic again. And it's rhetorical. Can I say to the Corinthian church, you all and your obsession with the gift of languages. You all and your pride about the gift of languages. Walking around in church and talking in your foreign language. And I get it. If I had the gift of foreign languages, I'd be singing in it. You know, I'd be talking in it. I'd be telling people, well, you know what that, what you just said, you know what that sounds like in, you know, whatever the language is? That'd be so obnoxious. So I get it in Corinth. And I think there's a rhetorical flourish as we transition to chapter 13, which comes right after this chapter, and it's connected. Where our God is saying, even if I spoke in the tongues of angels, hey y'all, I know you got some languages going on, even if you speak in the tongues of angels and you have not love. So I think it's a rhetorical flourish and some sarcasm and irony. But I am definitely open to the possibility that there's a private kind of prayer language in tongues. I'm not willing to go all the way and say, no, that's wrong. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe we're talking about the gift of foreign languages for the spread of the gospel. But the main point here is their ungodly pride in their gifts. and calling them all together to have a godly pride and this manifestation of the Spirit in each of them in the body of the church. Look at verse 27. Now you, speaking to everybody, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles. Here, look at where the gift of tongues comes. There's first, second, third, then. Where does the gift of tongues come? It's at the end. It's not the most important gift for the body of the church. It's a gift. It's important. But here there's an order given and God is saying, hey, you're all getting obsessed about this particular gift. It's a good gift, but it's not the be-all and end-all. But the point here in this passage, the main point in this passage, what God is writing to the Corinthian church, is to say, hey, all followers of Jesus Christ, all of them have been given a spiritual gift from God. Verse 6. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all, in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. I sometimes use the illustration of Batman versus Superman with regard to our union with Christ and how we think about Christianity. I'm not like a crazy comic geek. I kind of like the superhero stuff, but I'm not a big superhero person. But it always kind of was weird to me that, you know, Batman and Superman would have this kind of epic fight. Because I'm like, that's just stupid. Batman is intelligent, he has gadgets, and he has money. Superman shoots lasers out of his eye. I mean, it's like, it's no contest. And in the Christian life, what I kind of say is we often kind of try and get through the Christian life as Batman, surviving on our own resources. When in fact, we're kind of like Superman. God's Holy Spirit is inside of us. God's Holy Spirit is inside of us. God's Holy Spirit is inside of us, and He is working. So we got to live not like Batman, but trust that God has put His Spirit inside us, and we're like Superman. Although I haven't watched some Marvel movies, I think I need to change my illustration to talk about being Captain Marvel. Because Captain Marvel is like, good night. I mean, like, if anything ever goes wrong in the universe, they just need to call Captain Marvel. Because Captain Marvel can destroy anything and everything. I don't know why we need the rest of the superheroes. I don't know why Captain Marvel comes so late to the movies. But like Captain Marvel, nothing can stand in Captain Marvel's way. And we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. What does this mean for us? If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, God has given you at least one spiritual gift. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, God has put His Spirit in you in a special way that you might manifest the Spirit, that you might show the Spirit, that you might flesh it out, that you might make it real. Yes, all human beings have natural abilities. All human beings have gifts and different gifts because we're made in the image of God. But what we're talking about here is not simply natural abilities or personalities or things you're good at, but we're talking about spiritual gifts. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, here's what's important for you to know. God came into this world in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ died on the cross to forgive us for our sins. And that's a crucial part of the gospel. But that's not the end of the gospel. Jesus Christ came into this world to forgive us for our sins for the sake of restoring us to God, for the sake of moving the world back towards the way it should be, the way it ought to be. Now, the forgiveness of sins is a crucial part of that, a crucial part of that. We all have a problem with our conscience. We all have a problem with guilt. We all have a problem with shame. And if you haven't experienced the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, I urge you to fall on your knees before Him and ask Him to forgive you. But that's not the end of Christianity. The ongoing nature of Christianity we see in this passage is that God puts His Spirit inside of messed up, broken people. And He walks with them, in them, and through them. So it's important for us to know what our spiritual gifts are. Do you know what your spiritual gifts are? It's important that we own them. Part of the role of the church is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, which is kind of hard in a pandemic when we're all separated and isolated. A part of the role of the church is to help people discover their spiritual gifts and exercise them and grow in the godly and mature use of them. And so first of all, first main point, is we got to have a godly pride. Not a false humility, but a godly pride. Not a sinful, self-serving pride, but a godly pride that God has given us spiritual gifts. But why is a second question. Why has God given us these spiritual gifts? And with that, we'll get into our second point. But look with me, first of all, at verse 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Why are we given these gifts? Tells us here in verse 7. Look with that again with me. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit so they can get a good job. No. So they can be happy in their career. No. So they can earn lots of money. No. For the common good. What is the common good here in this context? Look with me at verse 26. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Our second point is bodily consciousness. Because God tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, He's given each of us spiritual gifts for the good of the body of Christ. The common good here in verse 7, its first interpretation, its first application in 1 Corinthians 12 is the body of Christ. Why has God given us spiritual gifts and aptitudes? For the good of the body of Christ, first of all. For the good of the local church family. Yes, we use the gifts that God has given us in the world for the expansion of His kingdom. We use the gifts that God has given us in our daily work labors for the glory of His name and for the restoration of all things and for pushing back the effects of the fall. But that's not the primary application of our spiritual gifts, even though those are important applications of our spiritual gifts. God has given us our spiritual gifts for the good of the local church family. Can you name the movie and the quote? I won't do the voice. Ready are you? What know you of ready? Empire Strikes Back. Classic Yoda.
speaking to Luke Skywalker, who's discovered he's a Jedi and thinks he is ready to go and face Vader, the big dark enemy. And Yoda tells him, and the only way only Yoda can say it, "Ready are you? What know you of ready?" And what Luke is doing here is a classic mistake in life, in stories, in movies, and in epics. It's kind of part of the heroic arc. How many stories have we read? How many movies have we watched? How many epic TV shows have we gone through where the main character has fallen flat because they have been serving themselves, ostensibly? Where they've realized that they are special or they have gifts or they have something to do, but it becomes about them. What we see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is countercultural, but it's a universal truth that's woven again and again and again and again through all great literature. If you want to know true life, it's not about serving yourself. And when human beings serve ourselves, it always goes wrong. The primary use of our gifts is for the body of Christ. That sounds countercultural. And obviously, as hearing it from a pastor, it sounds kind of self-serving. But when we look at world history, when we look at great novels, we see the truth of that. That when we live to serve ourselves, it never goes well. So yes, we got to figure out what our gifts and our aptitudes are so we can serve God in His kingdom. We got to figure out what our gifts and our aptitudes are so we can be in the right job and function as we God created us to be. But we also need to figure out what our spiritual gifts are so we can serve the body of Christ. We got to ask, how has God called me and gifted me to bless my local church family? How has God blessed and gifted me to serve my local church family? Where and how will I use my gifts, the Holy Spirit, for the common good of my local church family? I mean, we see how important the body is here. Look at verse 26. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of. You see, there's a life in the family of God. There's an interconnectedness. We're not just a bunch of individuals or friends, some of us who have the gift of empathy and hurt when other people are hurt. The body of Christ is a unit. It's a family. And that gives me great joy and brings me great pain. It gives me great joy when I hear on a regular basis and see how the members in this body are blessing the other members of this body with their spiritual gifts. Generally, I find about it afterwards. I didn't know someone was doing something. I didn't know someone had a need. I didn't know someone was helping or someone was needing help. And I'm meeting with someone. I'm talking with them. And I'm hearing about how God's body is at work here, where real people are serving real people for the common good with their gifts. And it's beautiful. It also gives me great pain when I think about the church in our country and the church in the pandemic. There are a lot of collections of Christians on a Sunday morning across our nation, especially in very large churches, where it's impossible to do this. If one member suffers, all suffer together. How can you do that if church is just a viewing experience? How can you do that as a spectator? How can you know if there's 3,000 people gathered together? I I think it's time, and I think we're getting there faster than anyone anticipated in the decline of Christianity in our country. I think it's time for us to return to what God's Word says the church should look like and be like, both as an institution and both as those who are members of it. So God has given us spiritual gifts for the good of the body. That includes your small group. That includes your Sunday morning community experience. That includes our Redeemer's kids. That includes refuge. That includes the body. God has given us the gifts of the Spirit for the good of the body. So wherever you are on that spectrum, don't give up. If you are serving and connected, when it gets hard, don't give up. And it will get hard, and it is hard. I mean, good night, look at Corinth. If you're trying to get connected and it's hard, don't give up. Lastly, communal awe. A-W-E, communal awe. If you look through this passage, look with me at verse 4. And just notice the word same. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. Verse 8. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Verse 11. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit. The repetition is here because God is correcting their pride and their elevation of some gifts and the denigration of others and saying, look around your church. The same Spirit is in everyone. Those who have that gift got it from the Spirit. Those who don't have that gift but have a different gift, they got it from the same Spirit. It's an elevation of all members of the body of Christ and saying to the church in Corinth and to us that we should have a communal awe when we're gathered together, when we meet together. That our brothers and sisters in Christ have the Holy Spirit in them. Even if their gifts are not public leadership or public teaching, they have the same Spirit in them. And that is holy ground. That is the divine in jars of clay, but it's still the Holy Spirit. Are these sinners? Yes. Are they messed up? Yes. Are they broken and difficult and awkward and hard to get along with sometimes, just like you? Yes. But the Holy Spirit is in them. The Holy Spirit is in us. We collectively together are the body of Christ. Let me finish with this. I know the old sitcoms have kind of come back in vogue. Friends and Seinfeld. I don't know if Cheers is trendy again or not, but it should be. One of the highest, greatest, best, critically acclaimed sitcoms ever. If you haven't started Cheers, it does get better in their subsequent series. 11 total seasons of Cheers. And one of the great things about Cheers is the theme song. And here's how it goes. Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everyone knows your name. You want to go where people know people are all the same. You want to go where everyone knows your name. I was a young Christian during the time of Cheers, and we all talked about how church should be like Cheers. It should be a place where your name is known, where we're in it together. But let me tell you about a place that's better than a place where everyone knows your name or knows your problems. That's the place where the Spirit is manifested. The better place is where the body of Christ is manifesting the gifts of the Spirit. Hey, it's good if people know your name and know your struggles. But where else are we going to go in this world? What else are we going to give our time to, our energy to, our commitment to, than the place where the body of Christ is made manifest? Where the Holy Spirit is present in a way that it is present nowhere else. Where the body of Christ is revealed as we serve one another. As we serve the world together. As we receive the Lord's Supper. As the body of Christ. Let's continue to give ourselves to the body of Jesus Christ and the ministries of His church. Let's pray. God and Heavenly Father, feed us, Jesus, to sustain us and to remind us of Your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.